And our local energy co-op, Arrowhead Electric, is announcing that Great River Energy plans to build a 20-kilowatt solar array at Arrowhead's headquarters site in Lutzen this fall. It's one of 18 arrays that Great River Energy is installing throughout its service area in Minnesota. Here to tell us more about solar in Minnesota is Aaron Stoja-Racola, Director of Electricity Markets at Fresh Energy. Welcome, Aaron.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, thanks so much for joining us on the Roadhouse. Of course, we're up here on the North Shore, and these are some exciting news we're hearing from Arrowhead Electric Co-op. You must be familiar with Great River Energy's plan to build 18 solar arrays throughout the region. Tell us what you know.
I know a little bit about it. Great River Energy, like many utilities, is looking at the opportunity that solar energy can provide in terms of how it can play a role with the other generation technologies that they have to keep our lights on. So what I think that we're seeing GRE do is look at how solar can play a role for customers across the state and look at whether or not it makes the most sense to have utility systems, or if it makes sense to have what are called community solar systems, which are essentially where a customer can actually subscribe to a solar project and have that generation credited on their electricity bill at the end of the month.
Yeah, community solar installation. That happened to be my next question. I understand that several of the co-ops in Minnesota participating in this program are also sponsoring arrays that will be known as community solar installations. What is community solar? How does that work?
So essentially, it's just another option for customers to get engaged with and to take advantage of solar energy. There are actually quite a few rooftops that are not necessarily appropriate for solar installations. So, for example, they might be oriented in the wrong direction, or they might be shaded by trees. And then, of course, you have a wide range of customers who can't necessarily afford to invest in a large solar system themselves. So you have community solar projects come into the mix, and these are essentially usually larger projects, but they can run a variety of different sizes. And they allow subscribers to basically subscribe to a portion of that project. So then the subscriber doesn't have to pay for the entire project on their own home. They can buy more modular portions, and then they can also realize the advantages of having solar electricity by having their portion of the generation actually appear on their electricity bill at the end of the month. Kind of, it's a win-win. We're seeing co-ops in Minnesota increasingly adopt community solar as a way for them to learn a little bit more about what it means to operate a solar system, as well as a way to answer the increasing demand that they see from their customers to be able to have these kinds of options to power their homes with renewable energy.
Well, when you talk about the win-win, it's the kind of system that takes a large investment across a broad group of users to share that initial upfront cost and then continue to reap the rewards. I work for the city of Grand Marais up here, and we recently completed a solar array on the Gunflint Hills Golf Course.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're familiar with that project. It was funded through the IRRB, and the same idea of sort of mini groups coming together, the local CCLEP, local energy project, sponsored a lot of it, put out the grant requests, did most of the groundwork, and now the city of Grand Marais has its own array up at Gunflint Hills. I don't know the exact kilowatts. This is something I'm caught off guard as to how big it is, but I know it's been in place for a couple of years now. It's saving anywhere from $300 to $500 a month.
Oh, that's terrific. Yeah. What we're seeing is that citizens are very excited about the opportunity to generate some of their electricity from solar power. It's great to see these kinds of projects coming together, and it's also great to see utilities starting to respond to their customers, too, who want to see more of this in their electricity mix.
Is this driven through mandates? How much of this is a proactive planning for the future?
Well, the muni, so what we call municipal utilities, and then also co-ops, those are both types of utilities that are not currently mandated to have any amount of solar electricity on their electricity system. So these projects that we're talking about right now are really the result of, I would say, these utilities seeing the demand from their customers and really wanting to better understand from their perspective what it means to operate one of these systems. So, for example, what they're really interested, I think, in learning more about is how many hours of sunlight, for example, are at a given location, how they basically are able to integrate that solar electricity generation with the other resources that they happen to have on their electricity system, and just to learn a little bit more about what it means to have solar electricity on their grid. Hopefully what we'll also see is that they'll also understand a bit more about the benefits. When you generate electricity close to where it's actually being used, you actually save quite a bit in terms of distribution systems. So those are the lines that go to your house. But also the large transmission line, there isn't as much capacity that is required to transmit power from, for example, large-scale coal plants or gas plants to your house. So we're hoping that through some of these projects that Great River Energy and other utilities are contemplating, that the utilities will begin to see some of those benefits in action. So in addition to obviously meeting customer demand.
The proposed array in the Lutzen Arrowhead Electric Co-op is to be 20 kilowatts. Give us an idea how large that is. What does 20 kilowatts mean to the average guy or gal out there?
Well, usually what you'll see for an average residential house, you'll see a project around maybe 4 kilowatts or 5 kilowatts. And 20 kilowatts of solar is probably large enough for a small or medium-sized commercial building. It's enough to certainly get started. It's enough for customers to be engaged with solar and to learn a little bit more about it. And I think it's probably a good stepping stone to solar in the future.
Yes, and certainly Minnesota is a progressive state that's leading this. I read that we're one of the first states in the nation to establish what solar power is worth. Tell us what that took into consideration. How do you figure that one?
Sure. So that's referring to an optional rate, essentially, that investor-owned utilities can use for distributed solar generation. So it's something called a value of solar tariff. The utility would like to use this particular rate option. It's meant to be used in lieu of net metering for new solar interconnections that take place after that rate is put into place. And the way that it works is essentially looking at all the different ways that solar provides value. So, for example, I talked a little bit about how generating electricity close to where it's being used actually reduces how much we need to use electricity infrastructure. Obviously, it also means that we're using less infrastructure during the times of day when solar electricity is usually being generated, when the sun is shining. The electricity system is being used the most on those hot summer days where we need air conditioning. That's obviously also the time where the sun is usually shining quite a bit. And so the value of solar methodology was essentially constructed to try to capture those benefits and to compensate customers accordingly for the value that their solar system is providing to the utility, to customers, and the rest of society. And then, of course, the fact that, solar energy is obviously free. And we know that it will be free into the future, which is much different than what we can say about natural gas. Which has fluctuated quite a bit in the past 10 or 15 years, or obviously coal generation. What the value of solar methodology and approach is meant to do is to actually capture all of those benefits and make sure that customers are compensated for the benefits that they provide with their distributed solar system.
Well, it sounds like Arrowhead Electric has quite an ambitious project plan for this fall. It's still proposed. It's in the planning phase. I understand there's some permits that need to still be secured. How closely are you working with the co-op to see this project through?
We haven't been working with the co-op incredibly closely on this particular project, but we certainly have been engaging in conversations with Great River Energy, who is what is called the Generation and Transmission Co-op that serves many of the other smaller co-ops across the state, in terms of thinking of ways that we can work with them in terms of expanding solar energy. So we really look forward to continuing that conversation. We've also been discussing opportunities to integrate, for example, electric vehicles on the system, and I know that's another area where utilities are very interested in learning more about how that exactly might take place and how they can serve their customers, as well as potentially help to electrify our transportation system. That's a conversation that we have been having and are really looking forward to continuing to have.
So Great River Energy would be the bigger parent company that sort of is planning these. They're throughout Minnesota, 18 arrays. Has there been strategic sort of you know, put them in the sunniest spots? How'd you guys choose where to put them?
But I imagine Great River Energy is working with its member co-ops to find sites that would be appropriate for solar energy. And so it just depends on how exactly, what all the different kinds of projects would be. So, for example, if they are rooftop projects, then you would make sure that you have an appropriate roof that is oriented correctly and that obviously doesn't have any shading or any young trees that later would become taller trees that would provide shading. For ground-mounted projects, you would want to obviously make sure that you have a site that is suitable. Obviously, there's some shading issues and other issues to take into consideration. So I'm sure that Great River Energy, like I said, is working with their member co-ops to find the right sites for these projects.
Great River Energy. And it looks like they've got sort of the clearinghouse for the information on this. At least the website I'm showing is the greatriverenergy.com/makingelectricity/renewables/solar.html.
Right. It just rolls off the tongue.
Yes. Well, I'm sure if you Google this, it might come easier. Are there any other, you know, any other resources out there for folks to check into and get a feel for this community solar initiative and perhaps lend their support?
Oh, absolutely. Well, of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention our own organization's website. We're at fresh-energy.org, and we've been following the implementation of community solar in the Xcel service territory very closely. Your listeners might also want to look at the Clean Energy Resource Teams of Minnesota. So that's CERT, and you can Google that and find the website very quickly. Also, an organization called Minnesota Renewable Energy Society also has a good deal of information about community solar.
And our very own CCLEP, of course, the local group CCLEP. Again, use the search engines out there, folks. Well, thank you so much, Erin. We have been chatting with Erin Stojan-Rakola. And anything else you'd like to add? Thanks so much for joining us.
No, I just think that this is a terrific opportunity. I'm so glad to be able to talk about it with you tonight.
Well, thanks for joining us on the Roadhouse, Erin. Have a good weekend.